WJO, St. Joseph, Natchez 99.3.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchez. Stay tuned and focus, and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Won't you look with me at Matthew, the 6th chapter? Chapter 6 talks to us about the Sermon on the Mount continuing. And he talks and begin to talk about benevolence and giving alms. He starts out in that way, and then he goes on to talk to us about something very important in our life, and that's prayer. Prayer is our communication with God. Some people think that prayer is me telling God what I need. God, I want you to do this for me. God, I want you to do that for me. But that's not prayer. Prayer, even in the New Testament, Aramaic word, which is the language that Jesus spoke, that language, the word prayer, is the word slotha, which means to set a snare for. Or it means to, you remember, was it Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd? You remember what Elmer would do? He would take a carrot, something that Bugs loved, and he would put it in that rope so that it'll draw Bugs to the rope so that he can possibly maybe grab hold of it. So what God is saying in our prayer life, he wants it to be like Elmer Fudd and Bugs Bunny. He wants you to be Elmer, Wascally Wabbit. He wants you to put something that he likes in the place that you want to draw him to. So in other words, if I want him in my life, I need to put what he likes. Now, what does God like? He likes holiness. He likes order. He likes praise. Amen. And then when you start to look at, if you read Matthew, that 6th chapter, you see where he begin to tell them about prayer. The first thing he begins to do, that our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He puts holiness where it is in him. Then he puts it in order. You give him an order. Hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You put things in order. He's above his kingdom. Then his kingdom comes next. All these things come in order. So he wants you to give him a word. What have I learned? I've learned the word of God. So when I pray, how do I pray? I pray the word of God. And if I take the word of God and put the word in the place where I want him, just like Bugs showed up, you really can't catch him though. That's why Paul said, I want to apprehend that which is what? Apprehending me. I want to catch hold of that which has already caught hold of me. So just like Elmer never caught Bugs, you'll never catch God, but you keep putting it out there. I keep giving him, God, you said in your word that with your stripes, I'm healed. You keep that word. If you need him in your heart, God just said that none but the righteous shall see you, and I need you to touch my heart to be right. Those are the things that we need to do. And he talks about prayer. And so when he talks about prayer, he goes on talking about prayer, how we should pray. This is Matthew, the 6th chapter. Talks about how we should pray. He gives us instructions how we ought to pray. And he said, don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be hypocritical when you pray. Right? Go in your prayer closet, and God who you pray to secretly will reward you how? He'll openly, he'll publicly. You privately pray, and he'll publicly bless you. Gives us how we ought to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. This is the model that he gave us because of the elements that are therein. He talks about giving us this day our daily bread and give us of our debts and trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us, things like that. And he talks about forgiveness, amen? And then after he talks about forgiveness, then he begins to talk about the heavenly investment that you ought to have rather than worrying about laying up stuff on this side. Not saying being a foolish person and say, you know, I'm not going to worry about tomorrow, which we are not really worried about tomorrow, but I'm not going to put anything aside for tomorrow because I don't care. That's like a person putting seed in the ground, getting a harvest and say, you know what, I don't want this. I'm just going to let the birds eat it. You put in work for a reason so that you can have something. Amen? But what he's saying here is he begins to talk to them about a heavenly investment, and he says, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. So where is our heart? Where is our heart? Our heart has to be with him. And in order for me to lay up treasure in heaven, I need to do the things that pleases the king. What happened here? Let's see. This is what happened. God sent Adam and Eve to this planet, the earth, to colonize it, to make earth everything that heaven was. That's why the prayer says that thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What happens in heaven? Everything that God wants to happen. So we want the same thing here on earth. And if God sent his men to colonize, I'm not talking about gender when I say men, humans to colonize the earth, to make the earth what heaven is, then we need to be about our king's, our father's business. Amen. And so we need to make sure that his kingdom come and his will be done. And our heart need to be in it. My heart ought to be in this more than it is into the worldly things. My heart is with this more than it is with football, even though I would like to watch the Saints tonight. But my heart is in this. Come on, somebody. Even though I like doing something else, my heart is still in. We got people that'll pay money to go to concerts, but they won't pay their tithe, which is less than the money that they'll pay for a concert in a room overnight. Y'all don't have to say amen. Where's your heart? My heart is in God. My heart is in the kingdom, and the kingdom is most important to me. Amen. And if I can do anything else in the world, I should be able to do twice as much in the kingdom. But look, he says, don't lay the treasures up in earth, for the rust and all of this, the thief will take it, all of that, if you're worried about stuff that you got on here, but lay up your treasure in heaven. And so he talks about where your heart is, your treasure will be also. So what I have to do is I have to put in the work that I'm supposed to, that God will see my work. And, you know, just like an employee does, even though you don't get paid every day, but because you show up for work, he puts that money back for you so that one day on a Friday or every 2 weeks or whatever it is, you get your reward. So what God is saying is that if your heart is in it, if you come out and you work hard in the kingdom of God, then there is a treasure laid up for you in the kingdom. Now, some people think that, oh, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to get it. Well, yeah, we might get a crown, but guess what? When we get back to earth for 1,000 years, you will be rewarded earthly-wise for everything that you put in a heavenly way, all the work that you put in. And so I don't know what you're going to be a ruler of. I don't know how it's going to work. I don't know how he's going to give land. I don't know how he's going to, I mean, whatever it is you want or desire, whatever kind of home you need, guess what? He's going to give that to you. You won't have to work for it. Because what you put in already. Now, we haven't thought past heaven, most of us. We haven't thought past when I die, I'm going to heaven. But we got to understand, heaven was not created for us to live. The earth was created for us. So why do you think he gives us a new heaven, new earth? He gives us a new everything, amen? And so the earth is going to be brand new. You need to lay your treasures up in heaven so that God will reward you when the time comes. So he talks about prayer. Then he begins to talk about your eyes, because, you know, that's most of our problem. He says, let your eye be single, or let it be properly joined, instead of being the word for the, when he talks about, he said, but if your eye be evil, it means don't let your eye be degenerately. Anybody know anything about degenerative diseases? Meaning that you might have started out okay, but if you have a degenerative back problem, that means that it was bound to happen, that you were bound to start to decline. It was bound to get bad because of your genetic makeup, and you're getting old. In other words, it started to fade away, fall away, weaken, deteriorate. There you go. So what he's saying is that we need to make sure our eye is continue to be single, properly put together, properly joined together, folded in the word of God, and not to be wicked or deteriorating. And, you know, that's what happens to many of us in the body of Christ. We are good and we're on fire at first, and then we start to deteriorate. We start to falling back. Well, you know, go ahead and Then before you know it, you miss a few Bible studies. Now you're missing Sunday and Thursday. Then after that, you say, you know what? I don't know if I really want to go to church anymore. Then you show up one Sunday and say, okay, good. Then you say, that ain't really for me. I think I just need to look around, search around. But then God send you through a problem. Then you say, I'm going to go back and get it. And then you go back, and your eyes not single. Amen. Because, listen, I know some people that asked me this week, you know, I don't know what's going on. We really need some help. I need you to pray. I need you to do this. But then you look around, they don't even come get the word. I don't care how much I pray. If you don't have the word in your life, it's not going to change nothing. I'm not God. I can pray till I turn blue and fall out. Nothing will happen if there's no word. The word brings the transformation. The word brings the change in your life. And the word, in the beginning was the word. The word is with God, and the word was God. God in your life, the word in your life really makes the difference. Don't take that the wrong way. But if you need a word from God, that's what's going to help you, not me. You need to go directly to God, or you may just need to, God, I'm holding on to this word. I'm Elmer Foote. I keep bringing the same word back. The same carrot, the same thing I know you liked last time that you came in and you delivered the last time. I'm using that same word you're going to deliver this time. But he begins to say that if your eye be evil, verse 23, the whole body shall be full of darkness. And therefore, the light that is in the darkness, how great is the darkness? If you think that what you do is good, I want the young people to listen to this. Even if you think what the world's philosophy or the world ways are okay and they're good. If you think that they're good and you say, oh, it's okay to do this, and in your own wisdom you think it's okay, then what good is it? He says, still darkness. And he said, guess what else? It's great darkness. It's like a man having all the intelligence in the world and turning around and say, there's no God. If all you got is worldly wisdom and no wisdom from God and no word from God, he said, you're still in darkness, and it's great darkness, awful darkness. And so you still don't have any light in you. And remember what the light is? The light is the life of men. Who is the light? Jesus. So you really don't have the life because you're still dark and in darkness. Amen? He says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon is the god of this that runs this world in America. It's the money god. You can't serve money and serve God. Now, how many people done fell out with folks over some money? Why? Because that's what we serve. I'm serving money. I'm mad. I don't speak to them anymore because they never pay me my $50 back. Come on. You beat the mess out of your children because they lost that $20 bill that somebody else gave them. Wasn't even yours. You losing all that money. The mammon. But he tells us to take friends of the mammon because they smart and they know how to get that money. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life that ye shall eat, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Look at that. He says, why is it that we worry? And the problem is with many of us, we worry so much about some of these same things that Jesus was just talking about. And what we are creating in this day is a generation after us that's worse, 10 times worse than we are on materialistic things. Oh, come on and say amen. Because they will not do anything unless they got something named brand. I had on some USA polo, and I'll get told that's cheap, that knockoff. You say it's fake. I say, how is it fake? USA Polo is a real company. So how could it be fake? It may not have cost as much as Ralph Lauren Polo because that's another real company. But my company is USA because you got to look good to see which man if you got two sticks or one. So it don't matter because the cotton that grows that they make it from is the same cotton. So what I'm saying is, why should we even, and I know we buy nice stuff out you. Now, don't get me wrong. It's cool. That's good. But we can't direct them to the point, I just won't go to church, I won't go nowhere, I don't want to go to school, and I can't do this and I can't do that, if they have to wear something less than what they want to wear. We are producing a generation of people who have become so materialistic that they got to have the best, the better, or else they cry and act the fool. Amen. So he says, why should we even be concerned or worried about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear? He said, your body is more, the life you got is more important than those things. So why should we be so worried? And the word worry means to be pulled on two different sides to the point where I'm stretched and it's wearing me out. Now, we worry about a lot of stuff, and you know, you hear the people say, if you're going to pray, don't worry. If you're going to worry, don't pray. And it's true. You might as well not even pray if you're being pulled to the point that you're not resting, to the point that you're worried, to the point that you're frustrated and you can't sleep. I don't know. Let's go on a little further here. He says, which of you, verse 27, by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? You can't stretch yourself. You can't make yourself any taller. You can't do it. So why would a thought, why do you take thought of all of these things? In other words, why do you worry about this stuff? Why do you worry about what I got to store? I got better put something back because we ain't going to have nothing. I'm not going to worry about that because he said, do you not know that you're more important than the birds? They don't sow anything, but they eat every day. And you are more important than a bird to God. So if they don't have to sow, they don't have to put a seed in the ground, but God still provide for them. And I've seen some fat birds just flying, big old stomach-breasted birds just fly, and they don't take no thought. But they get up in the morning singing. They get up in the morning with a praise. They get up every morning and they whistle a praise. They leave the nest and they fly and they use their energy to do whatever it is. You don't never see a bird laying around the nest talking about, man, it's just bad on me. You don't never hear a bird whistle another song. You know, I've never heard the birds whistle a song that sounds like the blues. Never. Their song wakes you up in the morning, and it makes you know that a new day has come. It lets you know that weeping may have endured for a night, but I've got a new opportunity to accept the joy of the Lord to be my strength. That's where we have to come to. Just never seen a bird, not even a buzzard who eat dead stuff, lay around the nest and say, I don't feel like it because it looks like the other birds get their food from me. If they do, they fight for it. And if they can't get it, they go a little further till they find it. That's why Jesus said, seek and you shall what? Knock and it shall be opened. Ask and it shall be given. He wants you to exercise your faith. You think those birds know it? I know exactly where to go today because I know it's going to be something there. They don't know every day where they're going to end up. But they know that somebody's going to feed me. And we need to know that no matter what, God is going to take care of us. Now, today may be something better than it was yesterday, but tomorrow may not be better than the day before. But at least I know that God will take care of me. Trusting him. And that's his word for us in our season. Why should we panic because something we hear, see, or something go on? Why should we panic and not trust him? What that tells me is that the word that's been preached for 3 months hadn't got through. If we can hear one thing and panic, help me, Holy Ghost. Why? I'm not going to panic because you don't know where I come from. You don't know when I couldn't rub two nickels together in my pocket. You don't know that. But thanks be to God, it's not just nickels now. And you got to make it up in your mind that today I may be here, but tomorrow it's no telling where I'd be because of God. I'm telling you, he'll catapult you into a direction and you say, what in the world, how did I get here? What went on for me to get out of the mess I was in? And now all of a sudden, I look back, you know the open, say my soul look back and wonder how I got over. I don't even know, Brother Gus, how I got here. Don't know, didn't expect to be here. Let me tell you something, 10 years ago, I did not expect this. But I knew he said it. But I had to trust him. didn't even know the direction I was really supposed to go in. I said, God, whatever you want to do. And when I said that, he did it. Whatever you want to do. It wasn't always easy, no. But I got up every morning thanking him. You know, every morning I used to get up and it would still be dark. And I look up and I see the stars and I say, the earth declare his glory and the heavens declare his glory and the earth sing his praise and the birds would just start chirping. It would still be dark. And I would say that every morning. Look, I said, God, I just want your glory to fill this place. And you know what? God said, I'm going to fill you with my glory, and you're going to pour my glory into others, and they're going to fill. This place will be covered with the glory of God. So my job is to give you the glory. The glory is his word. Remember when Jesus was born, the word of God? The angels came and they said, glory unto God in the what? I've never seen you like this before, God, but this is the highest thing, the greatest thing I've ever seen. And by putting your word in a man, that's so great. And guess what? God is putting his word in you. He wants his word in you so that you will show forth the glory of God. And I said this before about how God is. He's just like, remember the movie Coming to America? I use that as a good example. Here you got a prince coming from a place where he was a prince to a place that is a slum. But when they move in the apartment, it's not long after the servant realized we can't live like this. And he goes and get hot tubs and all this stuff and start fixing the place up, don't it? God is the same way. When his spirit comes into your life, he going to say, you know, this may be a slum, but it's not going to stay like this as long as I'm here. The Bible says that when the spirit binds a strong man and casts him out, then he garnishes the house. Meaning that not only do he clean it up, but he puts furniture in it. He furnishes it with whatever he wants to put in it. So when God cleans you up, he came inside of you, not just, you know, well, I'm just going to sit here dormant, but he's furnishing you. He's putting in you what he wants in you. Where you are may be a slum, but your house ain't got to be slummy. You may be in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. And God will make you a place where the king can dwell, because the king is not going to just dwell in any old place. And so the king in you, the greater one, he's going to put things in you to make you great. Verse 28. And why take ye thought? Every time you see the word why take ye thought, Jesus is saying in our day, in our words, why are you worried or why worry? Why worry about raiment? Then he said, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. They don't do nothing. And God blesses them. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God can clothe the lilies of the field, if God can beautify the lilies of the field, he'll make you look good. Amen. He says, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, so shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith. Look at what happened here. He talks about, remember we went over, he talked about prayer. He talked about fasting. He talked about the kingdom of God. Then he talked about trusting him. And then he lets us know what the problem really is, that we got little faith. O ye of little faith. And if we worry about those things, you might as well say it to yourself, O ye of little faith. Because that's what we got. Our faith is not growing if we are still worried about these things and we've been in church any length of time. Yeah. Our faith is not growing. Let's be honest with ourselves. Yeah, we've been worried about, we done cried our eyes out because we can't have something that we want. We have cried our eyes out over a cable bill. Help me, Holy Ghost. We've cried our eyes out over a pair of shoes, a computer, or something that's out of our reach. And guess what? All of it mostly was a testing of your faith. We've all acted a fool over some things. I remember when I was mad because I wanted to go on a vacation with my brother, and I thought I had the money, then something came up, took that. I was mad. But guess what? Bless you with it. Amen. Lord, help me today. Verse number 31. Therefore, take no thought. In other words, you say, don't worry. Don't worry. Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. So the Gentiles, they don't have no faith in our God. They don't really know our God like we do. But we try to go behind them, and they really should be trying to follow after us. He says, they seek this stuff, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So if he has knowledge that I have need of it, he said in his word, he will withhold no good thing from you. If he know I need it, why worry? God see I need it, I just keep praising him. God sees I need, oh, come on and say amen here. If God sees I need it, I'll just keep worshiping. If God sees that I need it, I'll keep seeking the kingdom of God. But if God sees I need it, he said in his word that my God shall supply all, some, a few, no, all of your need according to his riches and glory. Now, some of the stuff we don't need. But we go get it. Come on and say amen. But he said that he'll give us what we need. So guess what? If it's not the bad necessity, I'm not going to worry about it. I was glad to have it. But if it's gone, so what? I'm not going to worry. Come on and say amen. Stop worrying about the things that are not necessary. And thank God for the things that he gives you. He'll give you, he said, give us this day our what? Daily, every day he gives me something. And that's why I'm not worried about what can happen. I'm not worried about this economy. Not worried about what's going to go down later on or what they say might happen. You know why? Because David said these words. He said, I have been young and I've been old, and never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So guess what? If that's good enough for David and it got him through as a shepherd, it'll get me through. Come on and say amen. And so if it's good enough for David and it happened to him, I'm going to claim those same words. And I'm going to lay that carrot out there for God. God, you said in your word that in your word, your servant David, let me know that if he's been young and old and he had not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread, so I can take that to the bank for my children. Amen.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box.